Hey, we're backstage, as it were, at the San Jose Jazz Festival, and the set was just wonderful. It's the first time I've seen you. I've heard the record. How do you feel that your live show is different from your record? Because I noticed some differences.
Yeah, it is different because we get to take some more risks, you know, sonically, and of course things can be longer. They don't have to be so short as if on a record. But we do have fun in the studio, but with an audience, you kind of get to play off of that energy more, and it's just live, so there's just, by way, there's just more energy in the room, more people, and so we're really, really digging in with each other and tuning into each other, and I think listening even more than in the studio, and just getting to play off each other that way.
How is this festival different from other festivals you play? Is there anything unique about this one and this place?
I think the San Jose Jazz Summerfest, that's a mouthful. I think it's different because they kind of take over the whole downtown area, and it's really cool that it's not just one main stage with acts going on one after the other. They've got, you know, four or five stages at least, and then different things happening on the street, and there's free venues. Of course, there's paid concerts, but you can really, performers have the opportunity from every level to perform here. You can perform, you know, as a high school student, and then you can perform, of course, as a professional, you know, the real headliners. And actually, even 2 years ago, I just performed as part of a free event, or no, 3 years ago, in 2015, for the festival. And then now, you know, I'm on a different stage here. But it's very inclusive. It kind of includes everybody as performers. And then in the audience, of course, it includes more people because they've got straight-ahead jazz, they've got a whole salsa stage going on outside. So there's just a taste for everybody. And then also people who maybe only listen to salsa or blues can kind of walk into another place that has something they've never heard before, maybe something more straight ahead, jazz or modern, or, you know, just kind of whets everybody's palate.
Yeah, and just as a fan, just walking around and talking to people, it feels like I'm meeting everybody in the city, you know, not just the hardcore jazz fans.
Yeah.
And it just feels like I'm meeting everybody, and everybody's enjoying each other as well as the music.
Yeah, it's like the city's festival. It belongs to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when you're preparing for like a festival like this, do you do anything special? Or when you're putting out the set list, do you say, okay, this is maybe a wider type of audience. What do you do?
Luckily, we've been performing a lot on the road together. So I know certain things that will work and the other things that will work better in terms of a set. So it actually was very helpful yesterday. We played a festival in Idlewild, California, called Jazz in the Pines. And it was the same exact timing of set. But then, you know, I get here to San Jose and I'm like, well, maybe let's switch this song. Let's put something in a little different. So I kind of sometimes know what songs I like to do. But then as soon as I get into the room and I kind of look at everything and I go, maybe we shouldn't do this one, or let's slip this one there and try it.
Yeah, it seems like you were calling audibles,
yeah,
you know, like during the set. And also, when it came time for solos, I noticed sometimes it would be right before the solo start, before it was clear who was going to take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that typical?
Yeah, sometimes you just kind of like to let the music just do its own thing for a little bit and just sonically clean the air. Yeah.
Tell me about your piano player. It's the first time I've heard him play live.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be really the perfect complement to your playing because he has that sort of that broad knowledge of jazz,
mm-hmm,
but also, like you, knows how to swing,
yeah, yeah,
and knows how to really keep it moving.
Yeah, so the piano player I was with today, his name is Justin Coughlin, and I mean, like you saw, he's an excellent, exciting piano player, and he was featured in a documentary with his relationship on Clark Terry called Keep On Keeping On. But I heard him, we played together at another festival in 2014, we were put together at the Vail Jazz Party in Colorado, and it was just one of those beautiful moments where you sit down and you play, and it was just like, ah, this feels great. You know, it feels like we've been doing it forever. And also room to grow musically. And then just as a person, it was just a friendship right from the start. And we've been able to play a lot for the last 4 years, both in his group, in his trio, and then in my group. But like you said, he's kind of like the perfect complement. Can kind of get into different places and kind of, as soon as he plays a chord that I'm not expecting, it makes me so happy because then I get to go somewhere else.
And today you played, was it Ray's Kicks?
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have Ray's Ideas,
yes,
on Offbeat.
Yeah,
yeah. So you obviously have a passion for Ray Brown.
Yeah.
What is it about Ray Brown that spurs you on?
I think as a listener, I just love how he can bring an audience in, really. And it started from listening to recordings. It just really drew me in. And then being able to get to see him visually, I got to see him twice perform before he passed away. I was 12 years old. And you can hear it in the playing, how he brings you in. And then you go and see it, and then it's a whole, just another added layer to that. And just makes me feel so happy, you know, watching him play. And so when I was a kid, I said, I want to do that. And everyone has that moment too, you know, when you, baseball players as a kid pick up a baseball bat, football, throw the first football. So it was that feeling for me. And it didn't come easy, of course. And even Ray Brown said that too. Someone told him, like, wow, you can just play so fast and you're such a natural talent. And he said, he yelled at them and said, no, I had to practice all that. You know, it takes practice to do this. So it was almost, it's very fun to have that challenge of having a goal and then figuring out on your own how do I achieve that goal. Yeah, so for Ray Brown, it's just that joy, swinging, big, full sound, and just bringing the audience in. Because it's really, I play music for people, not for myself, or else I wouldn't go out and play concerts. So I play music to bring people in and, you know, do something for them.
And if you trace Ray Brown back, or do you trace Ray Brown back to, say, like Jimmy Blanton?
I mean, oh, yeah,
do you go back
course.
And listen to things
oh,
like
yeah,
that as well?
Oh, yeah, of course. I know, and you can hear that. And I don't want to nerd out too much, but you hear Jimmy Blanton was the first bass player. I mean, he had to kind of start shortening the quarter notes and just virtuoso on the bass completely, especially for that time. And the way the instrument was, it wasn't easy to play back then, you know, gut strings and really high action. Yeah, and then you can just mark the bass players from then, you know, from Jimmy Blanton, and then you go in Oscar Pettiford as well. And then here comes Ray Brown, shortens the quarter note of the walking bass line, kind of gives the whole band room to breathe. The ride cymbal can kind of open up a little bit more. Everything opens up in that setting. And so I really think that Ray Brown's shortening of that quarter note when you're walking, you know, not the whole long, it's somehow, it was like long and staccato at the same time because the bass couldn't project at that time. The instrument just wasn't up to date for what the music wanted. But Ray found a way to kind of shorten that note. And boy, did it make a difference. Yeah.
Offbeat was one of my favorite records that came out last year. It works on so many levels. It's recorded really well. Mm. The performances are great. I like the original songs on there.
Thank you.
What can you tell me about the song? You didn't play the song Offbeat today.
No.
First of all, why not? But but tell me about that song, because that is such an odd little wonderful gem of a tune.
Yeah, it's just this weird little song that was intended for a musical, and I can't remember the name of it now. And it's just like a standalone song, and it's a kind of a normal form, but I heard it when I was in high school, and then I heard a recording of, the only recording I could find was June Christie, and it's kind of weird. It's a, who did, I think Pete Rugolo did the arrangement, and I loved the cacophony of it, of that recording, and I love the lyrics too, you know, I'm offbeat, I don't run with the crowd, you know, all this stuff. And that's kind of like really spoke to me. And so the saxophone player on the record, who was on my first record as well, Roger Newman, I worked with him. I wrote out the song for him. And he arranged for Ray Charles, for Count Basie and Buddy Rich. And I was like, if anyone can help me with arrangement, it's Roger. And he was real stumped for a while because it's got some odd bars and some, you know, different chords. But we worked something out. And I love that song. I didn't play it today. Let's see why not. I like having the horns because you can really get that dissonant sound there. But it's just still swinging at the same time.
So what do you got coming up next? Like, where are you going, and are you going to record again? Are you writing? What's in the hopper?
Yeah, so very fortunately right now I've got a lot of touring coming up, which is great for me. I'm doing on the East Coast a week at the new Birdland Theater at the end of August, from August 29th to September 1st, and I'll be joined by Ken Poplowski, so it'll be my trio with Ken Poplowski. He was also on Offbeat. And then, the same trio you saw today, Matt Wittick, Justin Coughlin, and myself, and Ken, are going to Bern, Switzerland for a week to do Ken Poplowski Quartet. And then my trio will be off to Blue Note Napa, September 19th, SF Jazz on September 20th, first, and then we're playing Monterey Jazz Festival on Sunday the 23rd, and then we're off to Europe for until the beginning of November.
Your schedule is full.
Yeah.
And it sounds like all great stuff too.
Yeah, I'm work very hard doing all the managing and booking right now myself. So it's a lot of hard work, but it's very rewarding and get to meet a lot of great people like yourself and meet new audiences and just a great experience.
All right, Katie Throat, thanks so much for chatting with us here in San Jose at the El Torino stage, which looks like it might have been a restaurant earlier in the week or something. But with the disco ball.
The disco balls, yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it.